is freezing cold in my house today, or well, I'm just really cold. It's not even that it's that cold in here. It's like 21 degrees. But for whatever reason, I have a chill. Maybe it's because I didn't dry my hair today. Who knows? But I am cold. So I'm bundling up today and I've made myself a hazelnut half calf latte. And today I put out a little Ask Me Anything for ending the year and going into the new year. We got some great questions. I'm going to answer them in live time. I have peeked at these a couple times throughout the day, but I haven't looked at them recently. I was just getting some work done. So I'm going to answer these blind, sip this nice hazelnut latte with you and just hang out. And for a lot of these questions, if I'm able to, I'm going to pitch them your way. So feel free to let me know your answers in the comment section as well. And welcome. Cheers. Let's dive right in.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
First question we have is, any advice on managing overwhelm and anxiety, especially in January when the festive season is over? Okay, let's get to the root of this question. Any advice on managing overwhelm and anxiety, especially in January when the festive season is over? To me, that sounds like January seems to be kind of that peak month of the winter season, where all of the fun of the holidays and all of the festiveness and the coziness of Christmas or whatever holidays you celebrate and the new year, they're gone. And then suddenly we're smack dab in the middle of winter. Now, it really depends on where you live, what that's like atmospherically for you. Here, it gets very gray. It's a very gray day today too. It gets very cold, it's very dark, and I find January can be an intense mental health month. So something that I've been really trying to do lately is lean in, especially with things that I find myself running away from. Like, have you ever heard that quote that goes, whatever you resist persists? Well, I feel like when, especially I find I resist things or put off uncomfortable situations or anything that I know I don't want to do, it almost gets more uncomfortable. So knowing that January is like peak winter, knowing that January tends to be like a mental health month, a month of where like people's mental health, including my own, can be really challenged with those wintry aspects. If you can lean into that knowledge and use that knowledge as your power, I think that can help with things like managing overwhelm, anxiety, and just any kind of feeling where I think too, my brain is already getting ahead of myself, but just also being out of tune with the cycles of nature and the cycles of yourself. Like, this is a big aspect of the talk we're gonna have next week, but it's this idea that, I mean, New Year's resolutions, they kind of contradict the season that it comes in. Winter is all about rest. Winter is all about slowing down. I mean, we're supposed to sleep more. We're supposed to eat a little less. We're supposed to eat really nourishing, earthy, hearty foods that you would tend to find more locally or that would make sense for where you live. And of course, that's not like feasible or always realistic, but I guess it's just more so leaning into even the symbolism of that. It's like January is definitely not the month that you need to hit the ground running with anything. I think especially with things like overwhelm and anxiety, it sounds like the energy or your body is saying like, go, 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 fight, fight, fight. Like, what do we have to do? What do we have to do? But maybe it's actually counterintuitive. Maybe the way out is to rest more and relax more, chill out more, breathe more, be very intentional about how you take care of your mental health in January. Obviously, that goes without saying that if you really are struggling with like intense anxiety where it's debilitating and it's stopping you from being able to like function in your day to day, it is worth seeking out resources and help and in whatever avenue that you feel like most would benefit you as a person. And that can be different for everyone. I find for me, having an outlet that helps my physical body reach like my internal anxiety, if that makes sense. For me, it's definitely things like walking, running, biking, anything that gets my heart rate up. Because to me, when I'm really anxious, I do get like a higher heart rate, but I feel this like jitteriness in my body. And it's because my fight or flight is activated. And so if I can actually like fly, you know, I'm not a fighter, I'm a definitely flighter. So if I can run or if I can bike or if I can do something that my body feels like it's releasing that energy, it brings my heart rate up and it doesn't need to be long. Like I don't bike longer than 20 minutes lately because I just don't have the time. But if I go hard for 20 minutes or even just do really like heavy intensity or resistance, weight training, anything like that, it'll give your body that release that'll allow you to then relax. And I'm sure there's science behind it. Now, I'm not like, it's not my profession to understand the science behind it. I'm just going to be reiterating what I've heard or been told. It allows your nervous system to relax because you've got all that pent up fight or flight and you got to release it somehow. So yeah, working out helps. And then also leaning into rest. And then also making sure that you really prioritize your mental health in whatever capacity makes sense to you. And yeah, also too, like don't be afraid to still see friends and family and still do winter activities. Just because Christmas is over doesn't mean winter activities have to be over. Okay, how do you feel different from last year's Kaylin? Oh, that's a good question. I mean, last year would have been Easton's first Christmas, end of 2022. I was freshly postpartum, and how do I feel different from her? Ooh, I might need to sit with this for a second. Hold up. I feel a little more tough than last year's me. And I'm a little apprehensive saying that because I don't want that to come from a place of turning hard after going through hard things. I can feel myself getting a little emotional about this, but I'm a lot tougher than I used to be, or maybe a lot tougher than I've given myself credit for. I've gone through like enough in my life. I've taken good care of myself and, you know, done the work and whatever. Like, it's not that I haven't been tough in the past. I just feel like a little less naive maybe, or a little more focused. And that definitely does not correlate to like my brain functionality, because my going saying in almost every interaction I have from strangers to like my closest loved ones is, sorry, my brain's broken. It doesn't work, because it's pregnancy brain. It's postpartum brain. It's breastfeeding brain. Like, I just feel like my brain has not come back full circle from like all of the hormonal changes and all of that. But I do feel in my bones, in my spirit, I feel a lot more deeply connected to myself and a deeper connection to my shadow self, and not in a way of fear and not in a way of power. Let me tease that out a little bit. So I can think in the past now, in hindsight, especially to younger versions of myself, where I used to connect to my shadow self in almost like a way to reclaim power. If the world took power from me in some way, if a relationship to somebody took power from me in some way, I always felt very powerless. And so I would connect to my shadow self and go to her and create these almost like bad habits or bad mindsets that made me feel a short, intense burst of power, whether it was like not taking proper care of my body, but it felt good to like control something. I'm sure, again, you could tease that out. I've talked about that in the past, but also just like connecting to my shadow in a way that where I would connect to my shadow in a way that would almost hurt me. And it's almost like I would do that in a really warped psychological way, because it made me feel like, one, nobody could hurt me more than I could hurt myself. And it's not like I was doing it intentionally. It was more so like, haha, like I have full control over like the darker parts of me. So like nobody can get me at my most vulnerable, because I've got me at my most vulnerable. That's a good way to put it. That's definitely not the way that I feel connected to my shadow now. I feel so much more connected and grounded within the parts of me that are deep and that are dark at times, but not in a way where I'm doing it to reclaim power or I'm doing it to hurt myself. If anything, it's like I feel I've befriended the darker parts of myself by going through darker things this year. And I feel more connected to her and that side of me. And it is empowering, but in a very subtle, grounding way, not in a forceful way. I don't feel scared of the darker parts of myself anymore. And I also don't feel like I could ever I could never make sense of using the darker sides of myself or using my shadow self to ever hurt me again. Like, my darker self has my back now, if that makes sense. And it's because I went there and I came back and it felt like almost a way. I'm trying so hard not to get emotional today. I'm so sorry. It felt very like I died and came back to life this year. And that in a way has allowed me to see the world with new eyes and see life with new eyes and see myself with new eyes. So yeah, I guess I've changed a lot from last year, but in a way that might not show a lot to the outside world, but I feel a huge change internally. And thank you for that question. That was a cool question. Really made me think.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
I'm very interested in your schedule. I struggle to balance creativity and domestic life. Hold on. Also, I never know with these if you guys want your names shown, so I'm just going to go with I'm just going to let you guys be anonymous. I can't say that word today. Anonymity. No, it's just not going to happen. This is what I mean about my brain. I'm going to let you guys be anonymous, but let me know in the comments if you guys don't care if your name is shown, because sometimes I feel like people like being like, hey, that's my question. So let me know, but I'm going to leave it anonymous today. You know, I can't say the other word. I'm very interested in your schedule. I struggle to balance creativity and domestic life. Let me just say, same. I could share with you my schedule, but I will let you know my schedule changes all of the time because I am constantly rediscovering balance, especially between creativity and domestic life. Now, there's a book, I just brought it to my hair appointment the other day. It's called Archetypes by Caroline Miz. She also wrote Anatomy of the Spirit, which is one of my favorite books. And I've had both Sacred Contracts and Archetypes, and I don't know why Archetypes was calling to me, but I read the first section of it and found out through the test, which you can literally go to www.archetypes.com, I believe is the website. And if not, I will correct myself. You go there and there's a test you can take. Now, I don't fully agree with like the very end results, but just more so kind of like it seemed a little bit too easily cut up into like, I don't like any type of test that's like, oh, because you're this archetype, you should eat this food, or like, you know, that's where things lose me a little bit. But I did resonate with my results. And the top tier, the top archetype was actually an equal split between the creative, artistic person and the caregiver. And that feels so real to life right now. Like, I feel like I am straddling this line between being this maternal energy, being in my caregiver energy, my archetype, being the like home, the nurturer. And I love that role in my life so much, but I will never let go of my artist. I'll never let go of my passion for creation and my passion for, you know, doing things like this. So I definitely straddle that line too. And it's like, what is your schedule? It changes all of the time. I'm going to continue to share it as it does change via vlogs, because I feel like that makes the most sense. And on here too, there will be some more Plan With Me style videos going out on my Kaylin's Coffee Talk YouTube channel. But I mean, right now I have no schedule, especially going into the holidays. Most of the time I try to wake up, I try to move in some way, or if I really can't move, then just meditate in some way. I spend a lot of time with my son in the morning and my partner in the morning if he isn't at work or if he's home. And then it's just like Easton takes a nap, I get ready, I try and clean up a little bit, I drop him off at his play date, although that'll be changing. Like, it's all changing in the new year. And then I have 4 work hours, and in those 4 work hours, I really try to focus as much as possible and get as much done as I can. And then after that, it's like dinner. Right after dinner, it's like bath time and bedtime. Cleaning up a little after dinner, we try and split those roles a little bit. And then as soon as Easton goes down, lately I've just been so tired, and again, leaning into the winter season, it's dark, it's 8, I'm going to bed. So yeah, it's tough to find that balance, but I think it's just about allowing yourself to, you know, rework your routine as you go. There's not going to be one routine that's going to work every day for a whole year of your life, or a whole season of your life, really. So it's allowing yourself to write something out, try it, and then tweak it as you go, and allow yourself some grace as you move through it. This is a good question. I think I kind of outlined this, but I'll brief it quickly. Do you envision your content changing at all in the next year? By the way, I'd watch no matter what, which, thank you. I do, and I've kind of explained it, but I will just brief over. This channel is going to definitely start having a lot more hangout style videos that won't just be talks over coffee. There's going to be like some journaling videos. There will be some music videos or like reaction videos. It's again, very much like you're sitting down in a cafe. We're hanging out over a cup of coffee and just doing what you would do at a cafe, from planning to journaling to anything of that nature. Vlogs aren't necessarily going to change. I'm just going to be creating more of them. That's more of the higher focus. And then flows are like the tier underneath this in terms of what gets done first, you know, going into things like meditations and yoga flows and any kind of fitness videos that I plan on sharing, because it's a big focus of mine. Like I said, in my routine, I do try to really prioritize movement or meditation every day for a little bit of time, just because it is such a key pillar of my own health, vitality, and mental health, mental wellness, all of the above. So yeah, I'm gonna create in those three avenues. And if I have time, which I can't see when I do, but if I do have time, best believe I will upload some gaming content, but I gotta get ahead first before I can go there. Ooh, this is a deep question. This is a question I imagine someone like asking late night at a cafe. Maybe we're at an Amsterdam cafe, okay, and we ate a couple things. Do you sometimes feel like time is moving faster and faster? And then the follow-up question is, what is your relationship to New Year's? I don't know. I've never thought too deeply about my relationship to New Year's, but do you feel like time is moving faster and faster? Let me pitch that question outwards first. I'm gonna sit with this one for a second. It's hard to answer because time, not to be so cliche, but time really is an illusion. I find time feels like it's moving faster and faster when there are longer periods of time where I'm not as present, where I'm stuck in my fight or flight, where I'm stuck in that anxiety loop. When I do take time to really breathe into my body, or just notice with my senses like the moment that I'm currently in, or just take a moment to appreciate, or another mindset I've really been doing a lot, and it kind of comes back to what I was talking about earlier, is the whole like dying and coming back to life. Like, there's a question I remember seeing earlier today, and I don't know if I'll end up getting to it. So just in case I don't, someone asked about how to not be afraid for setting big goals in life and really like going for it without fearing failure. And my answer to that, and it correlates to this, is that you have to fear death more than you fear life. Not that you should fear death, but I think on a fundamental level, we all do subconsciously. Otherwise, we wouldn't have things like anxiety. We wouldn't have things like a need to rush and a need to fit in so much and do so much and a fear of aging if we didn't fear death on a deep, deep subconscious level. But I think realistically, when you fear the idea of dying and not actually living more than you fear living at the fear with the possibility of dying, okay? It sounds confusing, but what I mean by that is like, I fear dying and thinking, God, I wish I did this more than I fear doing something in my life, going out there and living my life and failing, which in a way is a metaphor for death. Like it not going the way you expected or failing in some way is in a lot of ways symbolic to death. So I fear the first more than I fear the second. And I think that that is the mindset you have to have in order to really go for things. So do I feel like time is moving faster and faster? Only when I'm rushing, only when I'm not taking time to be present, only when I'm not taking time to check in and to ground. I feel like time has moved slower since moving here. And I think because now where I live, I do have more space to ground. And then I had a baby and time started speeding up again. So again, it just really comes back to creating a ritual for yourself that makes you feel more connected to your life, whatever that is. And when you do that more often, when you check into the present moment more often, you're not thinking or worrying or, you know, gaining too much meaning from the past, and you're not focused on or rushing towards or putting so much emphasis on the future, time will move a lot slower. And what is my relation to New Year's? I think that New Year's is a fun symbol for renewal, especially after or at the end of a year. I think it would make more sense, and I know in other cultures it does, but I think it would make more sense to have a new year in spring, you know, like the year would start off in the springtime. However, I do love that we do have a new year in the middle of winter, because winter is all about rest. And I think that right now, going over the holidays, this is that time to rest and relax. You know, don't be piling on right now. Don't be doing too much right now, because you've put in a lot this year. So allow yourself to rest and relax with yourself, with your loved ones. And then as the new year comes about, like allow yourself the whole rest of winter from the new year all of the way into springtime to, yeah, I mean, if you want to sharpen some habits and take good care of yourself, definitely, because like we said, winter can be heavy, it can be dark, but also continue to rest, let your third eye open in a way, and like let yourself download some new ideas, let your imagination open for what your life could look like in the new year. You don't have to hit the ground running in January 1st, you know? And again, this comes down to consumerism, this comes down to marketing, where it's just like New Year's is another way to like hook the customer or consumer into buying this thing or this program or this product. And like whether it's you want to hook into people's like health resolutions or intentions, or you know, whether it's wanting to hook into people wanting to like expand their knowledge or just whatever their goals are, right? It becomes profitable for a lot of companies and a lot of just period. It just becomes profitable for a lot of companies and a lot of consumerism to like hook into New Year's and make it that like you got to start now. You don't. You definitely don't. You can slow down and like push out your New Year to be like from January 1st to the end of winter could be one big New Year start, you know? And then as the spring comes, then start doing things, then start planting your seeds. I think that makes the most sense in terms of like moving with nature. I just had my first baby 4 days ago. More motherhood reflections? Oh, congratulations, first and foremost. I reflect on it. I mean, just congratulations. Soak it up. Like, there is nothing more fulfilling down to the tips of your toes, like down to the bare bones of your soul, than just attaching and connecting to your little human, your little baby, and vice versa. Like nothing matters more, if that's the avenue you decide to choose in life, nothing really does matter more when you make that choice. And it's not an easy choice. It's still hard. I mean, obviously you can't pour from an empty cup. That's definitely a reflection I'm learning from motherhood as well. But nothing has ever felt more pure. Nothing has ever felt more deep. No attachment has ever felt more safe. And like someone else asked, I won't dive into all of it, but just like what my parenting preferences are, like if I do Montessori or I forget the other one they said, I don't really have a go-to like parenting style. But if I were to pick one, I would say I focus a lot on like attachment parenting, if that makes sense. Like I focus a lot on a safe attachment, and that comes from breaking the pattern of not having like a safe attachment for myself when I was really young. So yeah, you don't have to focus on attachment parenting, because no matter what, you're going to create a bond with your child in one way or another. But I think it's just one of the most beautiful bonds that I've ever witnessed. It is like the pulse that keeps me going. He is my muse. He is my deepest love. Like he has helped me heal so many of my own wounds, and congratulations. Ooh, this is a good question. I'm going to put it out to you guys too. How was your 2023 in one word? Oh, that's so tough. One word. Okay, hold on. Write yours in the comment section. I already want to cheat because two words are coming to mind. One kind of, I feel like one prefaces the other. Am I allowed to cheat? You know what? It's my coffee talk. I'm going to cheat. You can cheat too if you really need to. Because the first word that popped into my mind was raw. I don't love that word being like the word of 2023, because it's like kind of, I don't know, it just makes me a little uncomfortable. But what I mean by the using the word raw is I feel like I got down to like the rawness of my emotions, the rawness of like my burnout, exhausting all of my resources and getting down to like, I keep saying like, I'm so sorry, getting down to the bare bones of myself. So it did feel very raw, felt very exposing. It felt very painful at times, but raw in a great way too. Like I've never felt, like I just mentioned, such a deep and powerful love. Like I've never felt, it was just, I felt very open. And it sometimes that could be scary, and sometimes it was very painful. Sometimes I saw the hardest and the most hurt I've ever felt. And other times I felt the most deeply bonded and attached and secure, you know? So it was raw, but I feel like through that, it was also transformational. So I'm gonna go with both of those words, raw and transformational. I'm cheating. Oh, this is a deep question and it might take me a second. How do you feel at peace in this crazy, sad world? I'm so stressed about the world. Yeah, I'm really stressed about the world too. When I feel it, when I think about it, when I hear about it, when I'm like exposed to it, you know, and it's not that we shouldn't be, we should be. We should be aware of what's going on. How to feel at peace? I mean, I'm definitely not the one to ask. There are a lot better thought leaders in the world to go to with that question. I'll lean on a few when I think about an answer to this, because I think you have to, one, focus on the parts of the world and the parts of your life that you can control. And part of the things that you do and you can control is acknowledging yourself and what's going on in the world. But also you have to keep aware, just whether it's mothering or trying to save our planet or save humanity, you cannot pour from an empty cup. So when you're too far into the distress of what reality can be, in too far down that, I mean, again, just like everything in life, there's duality, right? So when you're, here's center, here's middle, here's coping, here's balancing, you're aware and you're lightly activated, but you're not so far into the activation that you're so overwhelmed with distress and despair that you can't do anything, or your activation is just anxiety and it's a spiraling loop that doesn't allow you to do much. It doesn't put you into helpful action. But you also don't want to be so deactivated that you've turned off the rest of the world, which sometimes you have to. I have heard some people say to me, like, I just have to turn off the news because I can't handle it. And there are going to be seasons of your life where you might need to do that so you can refill your cup. The most comfortable place that I sit in life, and it's not, some people really wouldn't like this about me, and that's fair, but I am a very, very comfortable, centered person, in the sense of like, you bring me anything. Someone else asked if I like politics. I freaking hate politics, but I am learning more about it. I sit very center to a lot of things, and it's just because, for one, and I'm getting so far off course, and I'm sorry. I hope that I'm not. It's hard not to even get activated myself into like anxiety when I start to talk about these things, because it can create so much division and polarity. And that puts these walls in between people where you're not having constructive conversation anymore. And the criticism isn't constructive. It just becomes like, the word bigoting is coming to mind, but it's just like, it becomes name calling, and it becomes, you know, labeling, and it becomes otherness. And when we go into otherness, we are never going to help our planet. We are never going to help humanity. We are never going to help our world. We will also never be at peace, because we're not meant to be in that state of otherness, of you're over there and I'm over here, and there needs to be a barrier and a differentiating factor between us. Like, we are meant to be in unity. However, we're also meant to be somewhere in between, because if we were also meant to be in unity, we wouldn't be existing here on the planet. The planet, as we know it, this three-dimensional reality as we're experiencing it, is all about duality. Is it all about, I don't know, evolving our souls to the place where we do come back to unity, to, you know, the one source? Maybe. I definitely entertain that idea often. How do you feel at peace with it? You have to find that balancing space in the middle of you're aware, you're activated, and you're within the realm of your own control, because there is a lot going on in the world, and there always will be, there always was, that is outside of one person's control. But when we break down otherness, we come into unity, even with people that you disagree with, even with people that do not see the world the same way. The way that you can connect with somebody that does not see the world the same way is to say, your perspective is very different than mine. Explain yours to me. Get to the root of why someone looks at the world the way they do. Get to the root. And this goes as far as, because there have been people I've run into in my life where even when they explain to me the way they look at the world, I'm like, I still disagree with you. I get why you're saying that, but I still disagree with you. But then if you get to the root of that person, and that is a vulnerable state, but we have to start getting there on this planet. Like, we have to really start getting to the places where we start to say, well, what do you carry as a human being? What trauma do you carry? What experiences do you carry that have morphed you into the type of person that would look through that lens, that have created the lens that you look at the world through? Then even if it's someone that you completely disagree with, you might be able to understand what causes them, or what created the lens that they're seeing the world through. There's a really beautiful lyric from Memo Blue by Alina Baraz. It's just like a little interlude song to one of her albums where she says, I can only meet you as deep as you have met yourself. And that is also very, very true. This is becoming the biggest thought spiral ever, but it's just like, you will come across people that it is not worth trying to understand. And it's not because they're not worthy of understanding. It's more so that you're never going to be able to understand them unless they have taken the time and the commitment to understanding themselves. So I'm not saying go out there and be naive and come across people and give people the benefit of the doubt that aren't actively deserving it, that aren't taking time for reflection and introspection along with trying to understand the world. I just think that it comes down to reconnecting. We need to reestablish that sense of connection with one another, especially on the hard topics, which I guess I'm kind of doing a little bit today in a very safe way. But I guess it's just because, again, like, it comes down to, if we don't talk about these things, if we don't actively put ourselves in positions to be wrong and be corrected, which wrong, again, can be a perspective. Everybody's right in their own eyes. But more so, if we don't put ourselves in positions that are vulnerable and talk about the hard things and come up against people that might look at the world differently, and then try to actually have constructive conversation that's like, well, let's understand each other. Let's get down to not just the root of our topic at hand, but the root of each other, so that we can understand how these two beings that started off as like fresh human babies on the planet have grown into these vastly different individuals with different ideologies, with different perspectives, with different experiences, with different traumas, with different pain, with different whatever, right? Sorry, this is all coming back to the realm of control. You have, as one person, a circle of control. It's not as small as you think, but it is a lot smaller in the grand scheme of life, right? You can't control the wars. You can't control the state of the world. You can't control a lot of the big things happening. But there are things you can control. You can control where you divert your focus, your energy, and energy includes money, donations, time. Energy includes, you know, your investment, your ability to physically show up or mentally show up or spiritually or emotionally show up for whatever, in whatever capacity you can, to help whatever cause calls to you. Or even just show up intellectually to try to understand something that you don't know anything about. And that's the whole reason why I also don't speak on a lot of these things, is because I don't feel like I'm equipped with enough knowledge to give you information that wouldn't be misinformation, because I'm still learning. But as one person, when we do that, when we focus on the realm that we do and can control, you have to let go of, which in another way would be called making peace with, what you cannot control. And that doesn't mean that it's okay. You're not making peace with it and letting it go and saying, that's fine, that's someone else's problem. You're more so allowing yourself to hone your focus in on what you can control. And then this is where, and atheists will disagree with me, but this is where a belief in something bigger than yourself is really important. And even if you are atheist, maybe the bigger thing that you believe in is circumstance, is patterns that will continue to repeat and play themselves out. I'm not an atheist, so my bigger belief is that there is something much bigger than us, a unity, a bigger source that we go back to, that there is some sense of reasoning. I mean, it's not all chaos to me. So my bigger belief is that there is something out there. I do feel connected to it. It's bigger, it's connected, it's a higher consciousness, it's a collective consciousness. It's a sense of love, it's a sense of oneness. And the things that I can't control, I very often, you know, lift and give to that higher thing that I have faith in. A lot of people might pray to God, a lot of people pray to Jesus. Like, again, we are talking about a lot of the same things, just different translations of those things. So it helps me to make peace with the things I can't control by praying or meditating or asking or lifting or letting go and making peace and giving off to the higher purpose or the higher faith or belief to take care of the things that I can't control, and then trusting and letting things play out. That was a really long answer, and yeah, I hope that I can make peace with that answer. If anybody has any bones to pick with anything I just said, please let me know. I know people come at these conversations very passionately, and I am very passionate too, so I do understand, and I do like to hold as much space as I possibly can. Obviously, I have my boundaries, being things like names calling, being things like, you know, when you can tell when you come up against a conversation that is, it's just, they're already going into it as like everybody else is wrong and I'm right. I can't hold space for that because it's not constructive, but I do want to hear other perspectives on this. So please feel free to let me know your thoughts. Okay. Ooh, deep breath on that one. That was an activating question, but it was a good one. I'm glad we went on that thought spiral. Oh my goodness, it is also 4:30, so I'm gonna have to leave here in like 10 minutes to go pick up Easton. Wow, have I been talking for that long? I really have been. There's so many great questions here, so I might have to do a follow-up episode. No, we just did a deep one. Let's pick a light one. Shout out to Paige. She's a member on the channel. I recognize your Instagram. What is your calming night routine and routines that you want to have for the new year? Lately, I haven't been able to do a whole lot. I'm not gonna lie, myself. Skincare, all of the things I was doing fell to the wayside because I've been so damn tired. So right now, the thing that I'm really, truly, and very simply finding calmness in is rest in its purest form, like sleep. My body's been calling for it, the season is calling for it, and I'm just trying to lean into it and not make myself feel guilty for sleeping. Like, it's such a pure, instinctual, psychological, physical, biological need to sleep, and yet I will throw myself in loops trying to do all of these things to like rest and relax when it's just like, just sleep. That's what you need, just sleep. So I haven't been doing anything too crazy in terms of like calming down at the end of the night. One thing, again, comes back to kind of like the phase of life that I'm in as a mom right now. I have been doing a lot of cuddling, a lot of baby cuddling. I mean I'll let Easton fall asleep on me, which is probably not the greatest habit for like sleep training, which I don't really do. But yeah, I let Easton fall asleep on me at night, and I kind of just let him sleep on me for a good 15, 20, sometimes 30 minutes before I put him down in his crib. And then I will go out. If there's anything I really need to do in the house, like really need to do before the next day to set myself up for a little bit more higher success, I'll do it. But for the most part, I get into comfy clothes, maybe clean up the kitchen a little bit, wash my face, and I climb into bed and I relax and I might put on a show. I've been trying to lean more into audiobooks lately, but I just really truly go to sleep. If that changes, I'll let you know. And then what routines do you want to have for the new year? I really do need to get back into, and the holiday season has just thrown this for a loop. But I really do want to get back into having a full hour for like my movement, meditation, and showering in the morning. Lately, it's just been like 10 quick minutes. So that just for like the last week or two, it's kind of gone out the window. But I do want to bring that back into the new year. Someone else is asking, like, will you be speaking up on the events unfolding in Gaza? I am learning. I want it to be known, because I hate that this question feels like something I should be avoiding because I'm not knowledgeable enough. Like, I really don't feel like I'm equipped with enough knowledge. So to speak up and to speak out, I feel like I'm not the right person to do that. That's also never been the point of why I have a presence online, you know? However, I am learning. I am donating. I have donated to certain causes that I have felt called to, and I'm equipping myself with as much knowledge as possible. I need to be a student of that conversation, not a teacher. And I am very much a student of that conversation and learning as much as I possibly can right now. What are some of your goals for the new year? I feel like I shared some of these, although they have adapted a little bit, which I will get into closer to the new year. But I, my goals for 2024 are to, I mean, let's go into professionally. I am looking to finalize and release my second fiction book. It is the second book in my Catcher series. It's a big focus of mine after the holidays to really get the ground running on that. There are some things I want to move around and change. There are some new muses and inspirations and ideas that have come to me in my rest and relaxation mode lately. So yeah, that's like my top creative goal for 2024. My professional goals, my sub-professional goals, my sub-goals, because you should only really have one big goal or priority. But obviously that's not my main source of creation or income. So my sub-goals are my vlog channel and this channel and my flow channel, just making my content, the content tiers that I've set out. And if I can, I'd love to do a meetup, although I don't know about that yet. That might change. My personal goals for 2024 are to, set myself up so that I can have a little bit of a break in the last half of next year. I'm really learning this year as I'm going into the holidays and I'm trying to get so much done and I'm doing a lot of changes this year, so it makes sense. But next year, I really want to be able to actually stop and pause and take a little breather and, you know, have things running for me by doing the hard work first. So yeah, it would be great to personally have a little season where I actually can take a break, especially right now, like I said, balancing motherhood and balancing like working and creativity and like the domestic household and my motherly role on the planet, but also my own passions, my own hobbies, my own interests, and like my need to refill my inspiration bank. I need that right now. So I'm getting a little bit, I'm going on a trip next week to Vancouver. It's a family trip for the holidays. And there's a couple other things planned in the new year that I'm excited about that I do feel are going to fill up my inspiration bank. But I think what I really need and what my soul is really calling for, especially with all the things I'm creating, is a moment of rest and a moment of pause. So I'm planning that going into fall, winter of next year. I think that's gonna align nicely. But I also would love to do a couple meetups, maybe in spring, summer of next year, that will, you know, allow me to get together with you guys physically. It's so much more fun that way. I'm also turning 30 this year, so that's gonna be a big, it's not that big, but like I have a lot of checkups that I'm setting up for myself. Like I just did all my dental and then I have another dental checkup right before my 30th birthday. I'm gonna go get my eyes checked. I just did a full physical workup with the doctor. Like I'm doing a lot of just taking care of myself going into my 30s. I'm really reflecting on everything I've learned in this decade of my life. And I'm really excited to move into my 30s. I turned 30 in February. I'm a Pisces baby. February 28th. So right at the end of winter, I'm going to be turning 28 and kicking off spring as a full, fresh, 30, flirty, and thriving year old. So I'm really looking forward to that. But yeah, this is going to be a really fun year. It's going to be a really fun decade. There's lots of creations that I'm working on, lots of things I'm really pouring myself into. And I'm very excited about it. And I want to know some of your guys' answers. What are your goals going into 2024? What are your focuses? What are your thoughts on any of the questions I answered today? Describe your 2023 in one word. Describe your 2024 in one word. And outside of that, I am choosing you the rest of my cold coffee. And I got to chug this and go pick up Easton. So I will talk to you guys all very soon. Bye, everyone.